Welcome to lesson number 3. This lesson today is going to consist of the aim of this lesson is to students to understand the basics of Sanskrit meter in relation to memorizing shlokas. And so first of all, we're going to be discussing about the idea of Sanskrit meters in general. And we're going to describe the definition of Sanskrit meter, the rules for long and short syllables. And we're going to try to determine by examples in the booklet long and short syllables in a shloka. And we're going to thereby having the students differentiate between long and short syllables, then the student should be able to properly pronounce the Sanskrit words and the verses, keeping in context the long and the short syllables. These are actually very common. You'll find all over our society, these are very common errors. In any Bhagavatam class, in any time, people that are giving, giving the class, people are also chanting, sometimes even chanting the shloka, the tendency is to completely disregard long and short syllables. And that makes the verse very choppy, and it becomes rather like a free-for-all. You know, anything goes, anybody chants whatever they want, you know. Like manomai, you know, it's like just whatever the mind says, you know, or however much the mind understands. To the extent that the devotee understands, that's how much the mind tells them what to verbalize. So that should not be done. It's not a difficult thing, really, to differentiate between long and short syllables. If you're able to do that, then you should be able to pick it up. First of all, we're going to read Srila Prabhupada's quote in this regard. This is called the examination. One day, Srila Prabhupada is sitting on the Vyasasana, and he became very upset, speaking loudly, describing how he had gone through all the trouble to include the Sanskrit shlokas and transliterations in Srimad Bhagavatam, but the devotees were neither showing any interest nor learning the correct Sanskrit pronunciation. In short, they were ignoring the Sanskrit he had placed within his books. He became adamant and said that from now on, everyone in ISKCON must learn to pronounce correctly and understand the Sanskrit shlokas. For the next 3 weeks, every morning in Srimad Bhagavatam class, he called upon each devotee, requesting us to chant the shlokas aloud. The thing that made it unique was that Prabhupada would take 10 or 15 minutes with one person and personally teach him how to pronounce every single Sanskrit syllable in the shloka. That way, Prabhupada went around the temple room and personally taught 7 or 8 people every day. We were studying the second canto, the chapter entitled Answers Citing the Lord's Version. And I remember, even to this day, the shlokas which Srila Prabhupada drilled into us intensely day after day. In fact, we would all get tortured by Pradyumna during the day so that the next morning we would not be embarrassed. We were finally able to correctly chant the shlokas in that chapter. Before Prabhupada left, he announced that there would be a final exam in the temple room. All of us came at class time, and Prabhupada called on each devotee to recite the entire chapter in Sanskrit. Then Prabhupada went through all the trouble to make corrections and explain how we did. This went on for hours, and he told each of us whether our recitation was good or more work had to be done. Somehow I was last because I was sitting on the side opposite the Vyasasana. So when everyone had spoken, I took my turn. I recited the whole chapter. Then Prabhupada looked at me and said, "First prize." Wow, wow, wow. And this is how Shatadanya remembered it. This is how Shatadanya remembered it. Wow, Guru Maharaj gave a blessing. First prize. Very good. Tokyo, 1972, recalled by Shatadanya Prabhu. These are with the, in the ITV videos? Huh? But he told this. He told you this in Mayapur. He told you this personally in Mayapur. This story. In one of the show. How nice! It's a nice reminiscence. But also, Prabhupada, also Kavi Chandra Maharaj, also remembers the time in the teachings of Queen Kunti prayers in Los Angeles, where Prabhupada asked, the devotees were chanting the shloka in the Bhagavatam class, and you know, you have a room full of devotees and you have 20 or 30 devotees. So they were chanting it, and another devotee was chanting it, and another devotee was chanting it, and Prabhupada asked us all of them, so why are we chanting the shloka repeatedly? And there was kind of like a silence, and then he says, and Prabhupada answered the question himself, so that we may get the shlokas by heart. So actually, it's not difficult to do, specifically when you find that shloka inspiring. Like I said, when you find the shloka written on the board in the Bhagavatam class to be very inspiring to you personally, then if you just simply hear it being chanted many times, and you can try this yourself. We'll be discussing that in the next lesson. You can just simply try it yourself. We have it all mentioned for some information and advice for different devotees, different types of techniques, and you can try it yourself and see if it works on you. All right. So now today, we're going to describe this. It's in the purport. Well, this is the shloka itself. Acha. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Sanskrit meters about chandas, describes the origin of Vedic meters as follows. Now, this is in lesson number 3 of the book. You can follow along in your booklet here. It's on page number 8 in the printed book on the very top. Just as a spider brings forth from its heart its web and emits it through its mouth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself as the reverberating primeval vital air, comprising all sacred Vedic meters and full of transcendental pleasure. Thus, the Lord, from the ethereal sky of his heart, creates the great and limitless Vedic sound by the agency of his mind, which conceives of variegated sounds such as the sparshas. The Vedic sound branches out in thousands of directions, adorned with the different letters, expanded from the syllable Om, Omkara. The consonants, vowels, sibilants, and semi-vowels. The Veda is then elaborated by many verbal varieties expressed in different meters, each having 4 more syllables than the previous one. Ultimately, the Lord again withdraws his manifestation of Vedic sound within himself. There's a number of learned works in the Sanskrit literature about this topic. This lesson is based on a text named Chando Munjari by Ganga Das Pandit. Ganga Das Pandit was actually Lord Chaitanya's grammar teacher. Chando Munjari mentions this. A total of 26 general types of meters, which refer to the number of syllables in a quarter of a verse. In a pad, 26 types of meters, which refer to the number of syllables in a pada. The list begins with meters, which there is only one syllable in each pad, and goes up to meters in which there are 26 syllables in each pad. In this lesson, we're only going to give a few examples of some of the meters used in Srimad Bhagavatam. So a pad is a quarter of a verse. Just like, where's that verse? That verse is there. Here, this verse here that later on we're going to show. Here's an example. This is the rule of long and short. Whether a pad is long or short, this is the rule by Ganga Das Pandit. Now, as you see here, the first line is called a pad. It's a quarter of the shloka. Quarter of a verse.
So this Sanusvara Shadirgas Cha.
That one is, it's one pad. So the number of syllables in that pad would to the student who has learned according to the names of the meter. There's various names of various meters. We're not going to cover that so much. This is like optional. Where a devotee differentiates by counting the number of syllables, you're able to differentiate that, oh, this is this meter, or this is that meter, or that is that meter. That takes some more expertise, actually, and for those who are desirous. Now, a syllable is a combination of letters with one vowel sound. And meter, chanda. Chanda is poetry. Just like there's an Upanishad that is very poetical. It's called Chandogya Upanishad. But actually, Upanishadic chanting is very traditional, extremely traditional, and is very interesting also, because it's not like the same chanting as you would normally do. It's not like Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada, I remember one lecture where Prabhupada was talking, and he said, Srimad Bhagavatam should be chanted by a type of tune. And the meter is sung by a tune. Gita is sung, Bhagavatam is sung, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is sung. Everything is sung. All the Vedas are sung. And because the singing is very sweet, it captures the heart of those that are in the mode of goodness. And if you're not in the mode of goodness, naturally it's not going to capture your heart. To the extent that you're in the mode of goodness, you know, then it will capture your heart. Therefore, devotees strive to first come up from the modes of ignorance and passion, gradually to the mode of goodness. And as Bhagavatam, in the second chapter of this work, you will see how the first canto describes that when you obtain the mode of goodness, then you can start to understand what is Bhagavan. So we should try to keep that in mind. So this meter covers poetry is a combination of long syllables and short, lagu. Guru is heavy, so it's long, and lagu is the short. And a light syllable is held half as long as a heavy one. So now here, number four, we're discussing about even. Now we'll discuss about examples of anushtup. Now, these examples are on page number 10 and 11. Examples of even, semi-even, and uneven meters. According to the number of syllables, an arrangement of long and short vowels in sequence in each pada. Now a meter, as the example is given later on in page number 10 and 11. Actually, although the printed booklet says, see example on page 9 and see example on page 10, please don't think that it's something mystical. What the mystic is that the printer, the formatting was another story. The one who formatted it had another collation in mind. Sometimes the computer, you know, decides itself, but unfortunately it didn't work it out. Artificial intelligence just doesn't work out. So the examples here, so where it says examples in 9 and 10, please mark with your pen 10 and 11. Okay? Okay, so a meter is called even samavritta when all four padas of the verse have the same number of syllables and the arrangement of long and short sounds and the sequence is identical in all four padas. Now see the example on page 10. It's on page 10 in the bottom. Anushtup, 8 syllables, even. And the example is given Srimad Bhagavatam 7.8.51. Right. Hare tavangri pada pankajam bhava pavargam ashrita yade sasadhu hitschayas tvaya sura samapita. This is an example of even. Then uneven, semi-even. Semi-even is another example here. Anushtup. Anushtup is actually the Bhagavad Gita is this meter. Anushtup meter. And there's ordinary anushtup, and then there's the long version, dirga, long version. But it's the same meter, actually. All the verses of Gita are all anushtup. I was told they're all anushtup. No, but it's just... Huh? There's always eight? Eight syllables. Yes, sir. Other meters also. Which other meter? Which other than name? The name? You check that out and let us know. Those with the, which the 11th chapter and a few here and there. Mostly it's this. Mostly I noticed that the in the Gita shlokas where it's long, it's always the same. It's always the same particular. I don't think it's any. I never noticed any difference in meter there in the long shlokas in 11th chapter or in the second chapter or in 8th like that, or in the 15th. It's usually when they're going to have the long shloka, it's usually the same one. Bhishma was kind. Vyasadeva and Bhishma Dev were very kind in terms of Bhagavad Gita. They made it simple. All right. So semi-even. Semi-even is on page 11 on the top, quoting from Kunti Devi's Vandana, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Verse 25. Vibhada shantuta shashvata tatra tatra jagataguru bhavato darshananga yatsyada punar bhavadarshanam. This is an example of semi-even. And then uneven is vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Is an example of an uneven one. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If it's uneven?
How would
it be to say that? No, it has the same number of syllables. It has the same number of syllables in the pod.
But the other
meaning.
Huh? Only rhyming
difference is there. Huh?
Rhyming
difference. That's all.
I understand the meaning.
It does. Tatvam yajkyanam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabyate. The easiest way to figure it out is keep in mind long and short syllables, always. If you always keep in mind, I never, even though I have difficulty due to my foolish brain, I have not to the extent recognized that, oh, this is the name of this meter and this name of that meter. I never failed. After practicing a little while, it automatically kicks in. Oh, this is how you chant it. You know, it becomes understandable as you practice. It's simply a matter of practicing it. If you use long, as you keep in mind long and short syllables. Now, what I noticed from my friend Shloka Schlinger, Dravidadas, I have a few others like that that are sling shlokas around the movement by email and by so many things, you see. And that's why I call them shloka slingers. You know, they have a slingshot and they shoot them, you know, by email or whatever. They're slinging shlokas around, you know, throwing shlokas around that they like and they relish. So when they hand you some nectar and you read it and you go, yeah, you know, yeah, that's good, then let's practice chanting it. And then the easiest way to do it is just keep in mind long and short syllables. Now, I noticed Dravida. How many people here have any tapes of Dravida chanting shlokas? Most people do. And if you don't, go ahead and get them. Because he's probably the most prolific shloka slinger in our movement. And but he, what he does when he's chanting, when you're chanting the short syllables, he runs them very fast. He runs them very fast, and only the long syllable gets credit. The long syllable in his chanting gets credit, because he holds it twice as long. But the short syllable is they run the short syllables together quite fast. And that's how, and because I heard so many of his tapes and his chanting, that became the most easily apparent in my mind. Oh, when it is short, run it fast. And when it's long, chant it twice as long. And when it is short, just keep running it fast. And basically, I noticed it about the hyphen as well. The hyphen in between words made me understand that just basically just that hyphen usually refers to run it fast. Most of the time, it refers to run it fast. Now this, but that, and that's the general, that's the easiest way to pronounce, to help yourself, to help yourself in pronouncing. Although as we see here, this description, that some vowels, although they may look short, according to the rules, they may be held, they may be considered long. Yes, sir. The thing is this, then in this Chando Manjari book, I remember talking with Ekanath in Moscow about it. When he was quoting from Chando Manjari, he said there are 26 basic styles of meters, but there are so many different varieties of the meter. Like here we're seeing it, there's semi-even and there's uneven, like that, and even. So when you take all these different multiplications of different varieties of the same meter, then you get, how many was it, Mata? Some like 108? 113? Something, there's like 100. I think it was, I tried hard to remember. I think it's like 113 different variations possible. Enough to make you crazy. Hey. Or ecstatic, depending upon if you're trying to understand it, if you're trying to rationalize or understand it. But the easiest thing for general laymen like me is keep in mind the long and short syllables. Then it becomes easier to chant it. The only thing is the ucharan, is the pronunciation. And like I said in my last class, I said that if for those who understand proper ucharan, proper pronunciation, if you mispronounce it, it hurts their ears. Yes. Right. Okay. Oh, one thing is this. Now, how do you recognize if there's a meter? Well, in all verses, there's a meter with the exception of prose. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, the prose verses... I remember, because I always thought that prose was chanted by some obscure way of chanting it. So I remember taking the fifth canto when I was wandering down the street in Vrindavan to different Sanskrit pundits that I happened to meet. And I'd ask them, how do you chant this? How do you chant this? How do you chant this? And they said, you just speak it. It's a conversation. That's all you chant it. Sanskrit is spoken. It's a language. It's spoken. So when you get to those prose shlokas in the Bhagavatam, you just simply speak it. And that's it. That's how you chant those shlokas. It's a conversation. You just go on down the shloka. And the same thing, there's a few prose shlokas like that in sixth canto also. So everyone else, aside from those prose shlokas, everyone else has a meter. And the like I said, the easiest way to chant those is keep in mind the long and short syllables. So, and if you do so, after a little while, you'll manage it. Because basically, when we're chanting Srimad Bhagavatam, there's only a few. Ekanath Prabhu, in his handout that he gave us, that mentioned there are six different types of meters in Srimad Bhagavatam that are generally, and some of them are only used a few times, a few places, which means more of those meters, three or four of those meters, are the ones that we're going to use more often. And because they're so common, therefore it doesn't really tax your brain. There are basically four meters that are used throughout Bhagavatam, and only a couple are extraordinary. And when they appear, they're ecstatic. Examples is the Gopi Gita as an example, where one meter is used continually throughout the whole chapter. Gopi Gita is very ecstatic. It dances, it flows. That meter very much dances and flows like that, according to the gopis' joy. So that's how we're ending. Now we're going to hand over to our other Saraswati Gana, Divyambara Mata. And she's going to enliven us with the rest of today's presentation.
I'm very unqualified to teach you, but I'm very excited because learning this rule about the long and short syllables, you will never mispronounce a Sanskrit word. And you'll never have a problem with getting the meter together in verse. And once you assimilate this rule, it's very simple, then you will, it will just become like your second nature. It will be so natural for you to properly pronounce the words. So this rule was given by Gangadas Pandit. He is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sanskrit teacher. And we can be sure that Lord Chaitanya himself has studied this when he was young. So, as Maharaj explained, the meter is consisted of long and short syllables. So the question is, what is a long and what is a short syllable? This rule is what is the long syllable, and everything else is a short syllable. Now this is a bit technical. I beg for your patience and your concentration. It's a technical Sanskrit rule. It's a bit dry, but it's really worth learning it. Now, first let us recap. In our previous lesson, we learned what are the short and long vowels. Do you remember? These are the short vowels. These are the long vowels, the ones marked with the stroke, plus A, I, O, AU. This is considered one long vowel. Then anusvara, M with a dot on it, and visarga, H with dot under. And remember that the aspirates, you have to remember this, because when we count the syllables, we will count the different consonants also. So keep in mind that the aspirates, ka, ga, cha, these all count as one consonant. Okay? So the first type of long syllable is called sanusvarash chadirghascha. Sanusvara. It means that when a vowel, when a syllable has a anusvara in it, then the syllable becomes long. And it means that it carries the accent in the word. You land on this syllable. Now, everybody knows what a syllable is? Everybody knows? The syllable is a combination of letters with one vowel in it. One vowel can be one syllable. I'll give you an example. Hansa. So we have two syllables. Hansa. We have, in the first syllable, we have anusvara. So this syllable, the first syllable, becomes heavy. This is how we mark the heavy syllables, with one line, and this is how we mark the short syllables. So han, sa. And here, the first syllable carries the accent, hansa. We don't say hansa. If the second syllable was long, then we would say hansa. But because the first syllable is short, that's why we say hansa. Hmm? I cannot hear, I'm sorry. Yeah, the first syllable is long. You can see, first syllable is long because it has anusvara in it. I give you another word. This is a... That's a real challenge, this microphone. Okay, so Nrisinghadev. This is a very commonly mispronounced word in ISKCON. Some say Nrisinghadev, Nrisinghadev, or all kinds of mispronunciations are there. So let's see the syllables here. Remember ri, ra with dot, this is also a vowel. So we have nri, sing, ha, de, va. So here the sim is a long syllable. Why? Because it has anusvara in it. Nrisinghadev. Nrisinghadeva. Is this clear? It's very easy. If you see anusvara in a syllable, the syllable is long. It carries the weight, you land on it. Then the second type of long syllable, sanusvarascha dirgascha. Dirga. Dirga means a vowel which is by its own, which is naturally long. Here are the long vowels, a, I, u, ri. So whenever you see a syllable with a long vowel in it, it is a long syllable. I'll give you some examples. Can you see it's a little bit? So, Ramayana. We have two long syllables, Ramayana. So the first syllable Ra is long because it has a long A in it. Ramayana. This is also often mispronounced word. Many devotees say Ramayana. Other mispronunciations, if you have heard, you can tell us so that we don't do them. Narayan is another word, yeah. So remember, Ramayana, not Ramayana. Okay? Another word. Maha Bharata. This is a short syllable. Ha is long because it has long A in it. Ba is also long, long A. Many devotees say Mahabharat. 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 Mahabharata. Or Mahaprasada. It's not Maha, it's Maha. You land on the second syllable because it is long. It has long A. Mahaprasad. Mahaprasada. Mahabharata. Forget about Mahabharat. Yeah. In Sanskrit, you pronounce the Sanskrit words in Sanskrit and the Hindi words in Hindi. The Bengali words in Bengali. Like that. Can you see? Everybody can see? The first syllable is? Because we have I. We have a long vowel. And these are short. Vaibhava. Yes, Prabhu. Mahabharat. That's a good question. See, when you have it in a verse, you always have to pronounce it. Because this counts as one syllable. If you say Mahabharat, you just keep one syllable at the end. So when you have it in a verse, you have to always pronounce it. But like in the case of names, when you just speak, like Mohan, like that, then you can skip it. Prabhupada, when you say. It's natural spoken. But in the verses, when you read and when you recite verses, always say all the syllables. So this is Vaibhava. Yes, Prabhu. Madanda Prabhu. There are five types. We'll finish the whole rule. And then there are five types of syllables. This is the second. I want to give you more examples because there are examples of mispronounced words. So we have Ramanuja. It's not Ramanuja. If you say Ramanuja, it means you make the second syllable short. So it's Ramanuja. When you read, just a second proof. When you read, always. What is the meaning? Oh, okay. You see? Very good. Thank you. Yeah. So you're mistaken his name. You have a question? Shivering down. Ramanuja. I don't have much time. Okay, let's keep going because we have more time. One more thing to cover. Medhavi and Medhavi. Keep in mind the long vowels. Mohini. Yes. Mohini. It's not Mohini Murti. Okay? Okay, last word. Ha is? Okay. Sanusvaras Chadirgascha. Every time you see Anusvara and a long vowel, this becomes a long syllable. Next type is Visarga. Visarga is... If you see Visarga in a syllable, the syllable becomes long. Slow? And Ki? Good. So it is not Chatur Shloki. The word is often mispronounced Chatur Shloki, but it's actually Chatuk Shloki. So it's not even Chatuk Shloki. See, in our... We spoke about this in our previous lesson. When Visarga is in between words, is not at the end of the line, then Visarga is pronounced as a scratching sound. Varnat Sanyoga. It's not Varnaha Sanyoga. Yes, according the preceding vowel is echo. Thank you, Maharaj. That's nice. Lila Madhuri. Shlo, because O is the long vowel. Okay? Then. Okay, Visarga. Visargascha. Gurur Bhavet becomes Guru. Varnat Sanyoga Purvash Cha. Varna Samyoga means a combination of two or more consonants. So whenever a vowel is followed by two or more consonants, it becomes a heavy syllable. Whenever there is a visarga in a syllable, it becomes long. Whenever a vowel is followed by a visarga, this syllable becomes long. Very simple. This is combination of two consonants. If you have a vowel followed by two consonants, then the syllable becomes long and you land on it.
I give you an
example. I want to hear more. Parikrama. Yes. It's not parikram. We have one vowel here. Everybody's there? Vai. First of all, it is a long vowel. Second of all, it's followed by two consonants. Right? That's why we say Vaishnava. Now, many devotees say Vaishnava. Especially Russian speaking, Bulgarian speaking. Just because of the Polish speaking, because of the conditioning of the language. Okay. We have to keep going. Now, Varna Sanyoga Purvascha, Tata Padanta Gopiva. You remember what a pada is? Exactly. This is one line of the verse. So, whenever the syllable happens to be last in a pada, it may or it may not be considered. Whenever the syllable is the last syllable in a line, pada, it becomes long. Sometimes it's short. Most of the cases it's long. See, if you see the last syllable in a line, it is a long syllable. There are exceptions. Sometimes it's short.
Second part,
though. Mm-hmm. Second part is always long.
It's always long.
Yes. First and third part, it may or it may not be long. But second and fourth part, it's always long. Every meter. Yeah. Whenever the syllable is the last syllable of a path, it may or it may not be a long syllable. If the syllable is the if the syllable happens to be the last, like in here, vet, this is a long syllable. And va is also a long syllable. Because it's the last word, last syllable in the path. Yes, madam. Yeah. As you get practice, you understand how it happens. It's usually I notice that whenever the next, because usually in Devanagari you have the two parts written in one line. Maybe you have noticed in the Devanagari in the books, usually two lines are actually one line in Devanagari. So if the syllable following the last syllable of the first part is long, if these are two consonants, then this becomes a long syllable. It follows the rules. Okay, now I want to give you more examples and practice of different meters. So you will see as we practice, you catch it very quickly. Okay? Now I want to ask you, how many of you feel or think that your name is being mispronounced, those who have initiated spiritual names? Would you like to come and just write your name here and explain the syllables and tell us what is the proper pronunciation? It says practice, the meter is Pushpitagra. I wanted you to do this in the class, but please do it in the homework. We don't have time. I'm sorry. It took a bit more than we expected. I want you... This is a semi-even meter because it has the first and third part at 12 syllables and the third and fourth at 13 syllables. Now, I just want to give you an example to make you get the feeling of different meters. You can see on page 12, Vasanta Tilaka, the last meter on the page. This is a very famous meter. It's the Brahma Sanhita meter. The verse, we took all the examples from Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I want you to get, we will practice with clapping, because you get it very quickly. First, I'll say it once, with clapping, and then you try to follow clapping on each syllable. Shri Shri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishn Vishavavani Drug. Shri Krishna. Now everybody repeat and clap on each syllable. Shri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishn Vishavavani Drug. Raja Navamsha Dahanana Pavarga Virya. That's example for 1 meter. It's a famous meter. Now, let's go next page, 13, Svagata. This verse is from chapter 35 of the 10th canto. It's called the Yugal Git. This is, the whole chapter is in this meter. It's a very, Svagata. It's, Yugal Git, Yugala Gita. So I give you the example. Vama Bahu Krita Vama Kapola. Try now. Vama Bahu Krita Vama Kapola. Vama Bahu Krita Vama Kapola. Together. Valgita Brurader Arpita Venam. Komalanguli Birashita Margam. Birashita Gopya Irayati Yatra Mukunda. Do you see? This is a different meter now. It sounds different, and because of the different combination of long and short. And the last one, Indira. Indira means splendor. Now this is the famous Gopi Gita. Everybody found it? Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. Kaviviriditam kalma shataham. Shravana mangalam shrimadatatam. Bhuvigrinanti e buridajana. I wish we could have more time to practice. And Srila Rupa Goswami is the king of poetry, the king of poets. And he's also our Rasa Acharya. So if you notice in his books, his descriptions, for example, he wrote a Ashtadasa Chandak Stava. It's a summary of Shri Krishna Vrindavan Lila in the Bhagavatam. So he wrote a summary of each chapter, each pastime. And each pastime is in a different, each verse, it's long verses. Each verse is in a different meter, conveying the mood of the pastime. Some verses are very playful, some are very much in like separation, some are very jokey. So the meters, they also convey different moods. I wanted to demonstrate this to you, but we unfortunately have to stop here. Now, if you want to know more about this, we can say many more things and have more practice. We can have one more lesson. It's up to you if you want. We'll see. Who wants to have more on meter practicing different meters? Hare Krishna. Okay, so when shall we have it? Like we have shloka class on Saturday. It's scheduled lesson. Maybe after that on Tuesday. Yeah, well, I asked Mother Narayani, she said, because we don't have speaker on Tuesday for the group. Oh yeah, the shloka, we have next Saturday, we also have a shloka class, okay? It's on preaching application of the verse that we're going to memorize. And so now your homework, It's written on page 13. Please remember to do your homework for the next lesson. Write down three things that make memorizing shlokas difficult for you. Three problems you have with memorizing shlokas. And the other thing is, you have two verses on page 13 and 14. Please mark the long and short syllables in these verses. It's the first. These are the verses that we're going to memorize. Yes. This is no. It is even. No, the second one is not even, but the first one is even. So, mark the shlokas. Also, you can mark. We were supposed to do this in the class. On page 10, there is another verse. Lalita gati vilasa valguhasa. Please mark the if you have time and you like to do it. And please practice during the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Just mark the syllables, and you will see what a difference it makes to you in terms of Sanskrit, reading Sanskrit, and getting the meter together and memorizing the shlokas. All right? Yes, thank you.
Can you say something
about the meter? Yes. The meter is always the same, but the tune can be different. Like you can say, Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha. And you can say, the meter changes, the tune changes, but the rule for the syllables is always there. The meter is always the same. That's why it's so important to learn how to put the proper accent on. And then if you cannot figure out the tune, you can just say, Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha, without any tune. But then you're sure you're pronouncing it correctly. Exactly. We'll give you more examples in our second class on meter. We'll give you different tunes and like that. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.